WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If you have an apartment in New York City, you own one, there's a good chance you don't actually own the physical property. You have shares in a cooperative, a co-op. Co-ops make up roughly 80% of the sales market. And co-op boards made of residents of the building oversee the business of the cooperative. And if you want to buy in, you have to fill out a full financial disclosure package and be interviewed by the board. These interviews have become the stuff of New York City legend. Here's a bit from Saturday Night Live about the practice.
Welcome, Kevin and Nancy. So we've looked over your financials and your references, and they both look very good. So at this point, the only thing left before you become tenants in this building is today's interview with our co-op board.
Great.
Exciting.
Yeah, now I know everyone has New York co-op board horror stories, but I promise you we are a very laid-back bunch. And we're going to start with you, Judy.
Hey, I'm Judy. This is my husband, Cy. Our apartment is next to yours, so we have a question about noise. What is the volume of your lovemaking?
I'm sorry?
Your lovemaking.
The co-op board can give a thumbs up or thumbs down and not explain why. However, earlier this week, New York State Senator Brian Kavanaugh, chair of the Housing Committee, sponsored a bill in which residential co-op and condo boards would have to provide written explanations for rejecting applicants. Here to walk us through Co-op 101 and the possible impact of this bill is licensed real estate broker for Compass and my good friend, Jesse Schaefer. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Listeners, what's been your experience with co-ops? Do you live in one and love it? What was a question you were asked during your interview that you still remember, for better or for worse? Have you ever been mysteriously rejected? Are you on a board? What's been your experiences? Do you welcome new legislation and more transparency, or do you think the system is fine? We want to hear your stories. 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. So, Jesse, co-ops are a New York institution. How did they become such a huge part of the real estate market?
Well, they first, you know, were introduced in New York back in the 1880s. And at the time, the idea was that the city's well-to-do, you know, didn't necessarily want to handle the costs and the trouble of a five-story, 40-foot-wide house. You know, those can be somewhat cumbersome. So the pitch was, you know, we can give you a luxurious place to live and a prestigious address, and we'll help you with all of like the maintenance. So it was a little bit less expensive. And the other thing that they were excited about was this idea that they could control who got into the building. And, you know, at the time, the idea of exclusivity was like catnip to those New Yorkers. So the idea of a co-op took off really relatively quickly, but it didn't become as widespread in the landscape as you and I see today until about the 1980s. In the 1980s, there was a conversion boom where a lot of rental buildings became co-op, and it really took off in the 80s. And it's really, you know, that's essentially from that point is like where the co-op became what you and I know of today.
Why do you think they are so specific to New York? What is so New York about them or unique about them?
Well, Well, you know, they do have them in other places. They're not quite as widespread. Like, I think they have them in D.C., and you can find some in Chicago. But, you know, in New York, it all goes back to the 80s, really, because there were so many of these landlords at the time who were getting pummeled by high oil costs. It was the oil embargo. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, I was in kindergarten at the time. This is all, I've read about it. But essentially what happened was landlords were losing money, and the rents that they were getting at the time, they couldn't cover the skyrocketing oil costs. So, you know, it's a relatively quick and inexpensive way to co-op a building that the landlord could have gotten cash quickly. And even some of the landlords that went bust, the city ended up inheriting these buildings, and the city, you know, also saw this as a quick way to solve a problem. And they would offer the tenants at the time who inhabited these buildings the opportunity to buy in at a really good price. And if there's one thing that I think we all know New Yorkers can't resist, it's a buy-in at a great price. So it really caught on like crazy. And so vast swaths of rental buildings all over the city went co-op, and it made great financial sense, and it spurred a boom.
So when someone comes to you and is looking for a property, what are the basics you give them on a co-op and a condo? How do you explain it?
That's a great question. So I usually start at the top, which is, like, obviously condo and co-op, they both have their pros and cons. Both of them have boards. But I like to look at the labeling of the boards, because I think that you get a good sense of sort of what the guiding philosophies are. On a condo, you have a board of managers, right? Managers, they help you manage things. It's sort of innocuous. On a co-op, you have a board of directors. They direct. There's a very different sense there. And so as a result, you know, you do have a sense when you're in a co-op that, you know, there are more restrictions. But the nice thing about co-ops, and I feel like this often gets lost in the narrative, is that co-ops, they're less expensive. They're to buy and sell. There's less, costs when you're going to sell them. And, you know, you even get some nice tax benefits on the maintenance. So, you know, there's, like, good financial reasons why people like co-ops. The other thing I try to tell people is, you know, anybody who says to me, I'm condo or, you know, or bust, I will never do a co-op. And I'm like, well, you know, if you're the kind of person that likes a certain type of property, if you like old soul or things with charm or, you know, lofts, or these by the numbers tend to be co-ops. So, you know, if you say that you're not going to consider co-ops, you're, you know, really ruling out a tremendous amount of really fantastic properties. And as you mentioned, I think the actual number is probably closer to 65 or 70 percent of the city's apartments that are for sale are co-op. So you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And obviously, that's a lot of apartments, and they buy and sell every day. And there's a reason.
When a client says, you know, don't show me a co-op, what reasons do they give?
Don't show me a co-op. Mostly because they watched SNL and they don't want to have like some crazy cat. Yeah. They don't want to have some crazy cat lady grilling them over a fire. But, you know, the truth is, like, a lot of co-ops are really great little communities. They're very democratic. And, but generally I think people are afraid of the idea of disclosing their financials to a group of strangers. By and large, New Yorkers who are looking to buy co-ops or thinking about it, they understand this idea of financial disclosure, but I usually get the most pushback from people from out of town who are coming here or even internationally, and they're like, so wait, you want me to disclose all of my financials? And I'm like, yeah, that's the way it's going to go. And, you know, to some people, it just doesn't compute. I understand.
Let's take a couple of calls. Adam is calling in from Brooklyn on line one. Hi, Adam. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, guys.
So I see you're on a board.
Hey there.
Hey, guys. So I just want to weigh in. First of all, I was asked by a sponsor, original owner of the building, to join the board. And the reason why I did, because, you know, it's a work that nobody thanks you for and you don't get paid for. But at least, you know, we're trying to keep the crazy people off the board and of the building. So that law that they're introducing right now would actually make this very hard for the boards and expose us to lawsuits from unreasonable people, which there's plenty of. Now, I'm not defending some boards which are absolutely crazy, but we've got to keep this in mind that this is a corporation. This is a private-owned corporation. People own shares over there, and our main goal here is to protect our, peace and quiet. New York is a loud place. You go to work, you hustle all day. You want to come home, and you don't want to hear loud music from your neighbor or things like that. So there's a ladder that is involved in it. Mm-hmm. But, unfortunately, we're getting bad rap because there is the whole point is basically shown only from one side. And the boards are always bad. They want this, they want that. I'm also a property manager, so I see really bad examples of people taking advantage, calling it discrimination and such, which is absolutely not in many cases, and taking advantage of those situations mm-hmm. just to force somebody because they want to have their way and not the other way. So, it's a double-edged sword.
The other
thing that I just want to add, if I may, is that the de Blasio basically over the last 4 years put so many taxes on the property. In the last 4 years, they doubled, okay? Mm-hmm. The buildings that I manage, the budgets that we have, half of it just goes for the property taxes. So pretty mm-hmm. soon, it's not going to be something that people want to invest in, unfortunately.
Adam, thank you so much. You had a lot of good points. Let's go to Ariane in Huntington on line 3. So, Ariane, you were buying a co-op?
Yes, my fiance and I were buying our first home to live in after we were married, and we went before the board, which was, interesting, different for me. I always grew up in a home, but my husband always lived in a co-op. But they almost actually denied us because we weren't married, because they thought, well, if you don't actually get married in a few months, you're not going to be able to pay your maintenance. And our attorney happened to be with us, and he said, you can't discriminate against unmarried people. This is crazy. They eventually accepted us, and we had a lovely, few years there, and it was wonderful. But it was a little bonkers, and it was a little crazy.
Thanks for sharing your story, Ariane. Let's go to Joseph in the East Village who's calling in. Hi, Joseph. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. I think this is a theme of discrimination. I'm on the board of a small building, 10 units. And we interviewed a couple, and one of the board members, after we met, privately said, they make too much money. We don't want rich people in the building because it's the East Village. And I was like, that's discrimination, right? So I was just like arguing, we can't do that, but she voted them out, and we looked for somebody else.
Joseph, thank you for sharing that story. My guest is Jesse Schaefer, licensed real estate broker for Compass. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, Jesse, I've known you a very long time, and you're one of the most honest people I know in this business, and you're a diehard New Yorker. You've been on all sides of this. So think about this current law. Let's talk about current law. Co-op boards, they don't have to tell you why the application was rejected, and they rarely do.
Right.
Why is this seen as problematic on one side, and why is this seen as okay on the other?
Well, it's seen as problematic because if you think about it, if you're selling your apartment, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of time, there's a lot of effort going into marketing it. You get it on, and if you're buying a place, it's the same thing, right? A lot of time and effort, and when you finally broker a deal, somebody wants to buy and somebody wants to sell. Everybody's put a tremendous amount of effort into this. It's not the case that people don't also try to like make sure that everybody's well qualified. All this work is sort of done in advance, and then the concern about it is like you then turn it over, and if you get a rejection, nobody really knows why, and so as a result, by the way, on all the calls, I've heard every one of those cases before, so it definitely does happen. But, I think the idea is that if you knew why your turn down happened, maybe it could help inform you so that the next time you tried to purchase, you could you could course correct. And then obviously, you know, sunlight being the best disinfectant, you know, I think the idea or the hope is that there would be less or no discrimination because, you know, a board might think twice if they had to actually say the reason why that they had the turndown. I understand, you know, the concern from the board member that called in that it opens them up to personal liability, but it's also true that anybody could sue anybody at any time for anything. So I think personally that the law is not a terrible idea. I don't know how popular that'll be to actually say, but one of the things about the law that I like the most, though, is this idea that there's a timeline.
This new law.
I think right now part of it is, yeah, the new law says that there has to be 3 months in order to turn down or approve an applicant, which is terrific because right now there's no guiding principle about how long it takes. And, you know, nobody can move on. You know, a buyer doesn't know if they're going to, you know, have to move out of their current place and move into the new one. And the seller doesn't know if they can, you know, what if they're going to buy something new? They can't figure out if they have to move on. Sometimes they can go on for 4 or 5 months in this kind of stasis mm-hmm. where nobody knows what's happening. So it's not the idea that there would be some kind of guidepost is not a terrible thing. Because right now it is, you know, as great as the institution is in a lot of respects, it is also the Wild West.
I want to share a couple of thoughts on Twitter. Ellen says, I've heard of very controlling, power-hungry boards, but I live in a co-op where nearly half the units have someone on the board. You want to be involved and take ownership of the shared space and not treat the building like a rental car. It's a pretty good analogy. Claire on Twitter says, important to know that co-ops are what saved New York City during the housing crash in 2008-09. Banks were giving away money, but co-ops review process makes sure people can support their investment and protects the other homeowners. It's so interesting that we have on the other side people saying, I was rejected and I have no idea why, and I would like to have known why. So you did an unscientific poll with your colleagues in real estate saying about this potential law that would say you have to explain why you rejected somebody and you'd have to give a time frame. What were people on your business saying? What were they thinking?
Well, it's very interesting because, you know, for the most part, just about everybody I talked to said, you know what, some version of this law it isn't a terrible thing. You know, nobody really wants to remove the ability for of a building to make decisions about, you know, what's best for their building, you know, because the truth is if you live in a small floor unit building, you might not hate the idea of making sure your next door neighbor who's going to own 25% of that building is financially well qualified. You know, no one would dispute that. But, you know, I think by sort of having everything be out in the open, I think it'll just make everything feel a lot better because I think that there's this cloud when people buy in a co-op where they don't really know how it's going to go. And it's a nail biter. And I don't know that it necessarily, you know, has to be a nail biter. I mean, it's hard enough to buy and sell in this town without this aspect of you know, complete non-disclosure. So I talked to a lawyer. I talked to another agent. I've talked to some consumers. And it's interesting. Like, while I understand how if you served on a board, this might give you some trepidation, by and large, I feel like if everybody's doing the right thing, you know, there's probably not all that much to be concerned about. If you know what I mean?
Anything about this issue that we haven't touched on that you think's important or is sort of being not reported in the most accurate way?
No, I mean, just that I think that there's so much that's great about co-ops. And I think that there's like it's fun to make fun of them, you know, like just sort of like everybody likes to tell like a scary co-op story. But I think the thing that often gets lost in the shuffle is like what a great thing a co-op actually is. Like, you know, when you have a building of neighbors that are all pulling together and, you know, they're all working towards a shared goal. Like, I know a lot of people that have had really wonderful, enriching experiences in co-ops. So I feel like, you know, I think it needs to be more nuanced when people are thinking about it is really the main thing. That would be basically it.
Jesse Schaefer is a fantastic real estate broker with Compass. Jesse, thank you. I know you're actually on the job. You're on your way to something right now. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, I'm in between appointments. Thanks for having me on, though.
Bye, Jesse.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.